slip knots or anything like that. He tied a secure knot, and we're still here today and enjoyed 5 years of ministry, consistent ministry at the start of the church back when it was on Post and Prairie and the YMCA and over on McKinley Avenue or McKinley Road, I guess it is, McKinley Road. And it's been a delightful journey for us. And it's here where, in the context of the roots and foundation of this church, that we were schooled and given apprenticeship, if you will, and training for a foundation in our ministry and in our family life. And for that, we are eternally and forever grateful to John and Phyllis and their entire family, their three sons and their lovely daughter, Pamela, and now their grandchildren, from Pamela and Dwayne. So thank you so much. I don't mean to mention names, because as soon as I start, I got to go through the whole list. I'm bound to miss somebody, and it's not our intention to do that. But collectively, you are an amazing group of people, and you are making an impact upon this city. You are impacting LaSalle County and beyond. Some of you go places, and you bring the seasoning and the salt with you of what you gain from this house. And that's so good. So today is a very special day, and I almost, do I need to do something? Or he's helping me out. I'm sorry. Is that good? Whew. Good to have tech people like that. Thank you so much. Well, we have been in marching through the Gospel Project ever since we started with you back in March. And after Easter, we lunged into the Gospel Project. This will be our last opportunity to share with you from the Gospel Project. I won't be here next weekend. Might have a surprise appearance the following weekend. But truly, this has been a delight for us. But we're walking through the Gospel Project, the life of Christ in order. And when you examine the life of Christ, it helps bring our life in order, doesn't it? Praise God for that. And I trust that the word shared has been a blessing to you, encouraged you, and given you fresh perspective and possibly understanding of things you didn't really think were even possible or existed anymore. But through the power of God, all things are possible. Amen? So, Father, we thank you today for this house and the people who gather here. Thank you for the sweet Spirit of God that hovers over this place as a wonderful warmth and a bathing environment. We just thank you for that, for this house of friends, and we just ask you to bless the word to us as we seek to glorify you in Jesus' name today. Amen. We're looking from the book of Matthew and Mark today. We are going to get to some baptisms at the conclusion of the word here, so I'm not going to be real long because we want to get into the baptisms. And we've asked the folks that are being baptized to give you a little story of their life. And so you'll hear a little bit briefly of some personal stories as they're being baptized. But Matthew chapter 17, verses 14, and I think that's what we've got, 14 and 15. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son." Now, before we go farther, I want to pick this story up in the Gospel of Mark because it gives us some further details about this story. And so if we have that verse in the book of Mark available, let's read this, the context of this story. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed with an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you?" Jesus fed up? No, he's teaching. He's not fed up. He's just teaching. "How long must I put up with you? How long must I be with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy, But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire and into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." Jesus' response is very revealing. "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Before I go any farther, I failed to mention in all the energy and all the enthusiasm of our greeting here today, we have some family members with us today. My oldest son, Michael, and his lovely wife, Naomi, are here. We're so glad that they could make it today to be with us and to meet you. I trust you get a chance to meet them. They're super-duper people, just like you. So thank you, Mike and Naomi, for coming to be with us today. But have you ever, as a kid, you know, as a kid I remember, we'd get together with our buds and let's play Mercy. And maybe someone would grab the hand and pull the fingers back and, I ain't going to say it. And then all of a sudden, one last pop and you go, "Mercy!" Ah! They twist your arm. "No, you can't do it. Mercy!" Ever had that happen? Maybe kids don't play games like that anymore. Maybe it's a video game called Mercy. I don't know. Your sisters did?
Yeah.
Don, you?
To each other.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. So, you know, we get into the situation where we put up with as much pain as we're possible to bear, and then nothing else will take the pain away until we cry out, "Mercy!" And finally, they let go. Sometimes we get into situations like that in life, in our adult life, where we're in the grasp of something that just seems like it just wants to torque and torque and torque on you and cause that pain to go just a little bit deeper, a little farther. No, seems to be no way out. And if you could call for mercy, you would. But it's not like it was when the kids were doing it. That doesn't just let up when I call for mercy just like that. But there is mercy available today for you and I. This father of this young boy was in a situation, a tight place. "I am so perplexed by this problem," the father said. "I don't know what to do about it. I've taken him to others and they can't do anything. I've taken him to your disciples and for whatever reason, they couldn't do it either. And so I come to you and if you can do anything, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy." When you need mercy, you know where to go, don't you? You see, when people are in the presence of Jesus, when people are in the presence of Jesus, they typically will flourish. When you are with Jesus somewhere and you're in his presence, look at the Bible story. People who were with, who trusted him and put faith in him, there was flourishing going on. Jesus' presence had a healing and a transformative effect upon people. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, just by being in his presence. And I long to be in his presence. I felt his presence today as we were singing. And you felt him. And there's something about being in his presence and being present in his presence. Be present in his presence. You see, it's one thing to know God as some powerful, powerful force. He's the creator of the universe. He's my creator. God has created me. It's one thing to know him as creator. But you know, that can be rather scientific. It can be rather, that can be just logic, pure logic. Rather a molecular level of understanding that a creator. But there's another thing to know Jesus as the loving, merciful Savior. To know him that way. Isaiah chapter 49 gives us a neat, cool, neat. Where'd that come from all of a sudden? Isaiah 49, 13 through 16 says, shout for joy, you heavens, rejoice, you earth, burst into song, you mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? So the people of God in Zion were saying, he's forgotten me. Let's go back there. He has forgotten me. He has forsaken me. And God says, can a mother turn her back on a child she is weaning? He continues his thought through Isaiah, and he says, though she may forget, I will never forget. Well, what's the likelihood of that mother that would turn her back on a weaning child? Very unlikely. And so the Savior says, God says in Isaiah, though she may forget, I will never forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand, and your walls are ever before me. You see, I will always be a loving Savior to you. Understanding him as creator is nice. It's informative. Gives us some information about God. But knowing him as kind and loving is transformative, isn't it? To be in his presence, to allow the Holy Spirit to lift off of us confusion and darkness and thoughts that we were just we're just bombarding our minds. But in his presence, we're able to see that he lifts us above all that and brings clarity to us. Psalm 73 gives us another beautiful perspective. Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? The earth is nothing, has nothing that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish, and you destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, everybody say this, as for me, it is good to be near God. Say that again. It is good for me to be near God. Oh, it is a good thing for us to be near God. Sometimes we just kind of get into our little routines and worship and songs, and we go through the process of a service, or we hear a good song on the radio, oh, got to turn this up, and we just get moving to it. But we never really take time to examine the fact that it is so good for me to be in the presence of the Lord. It is just good for me to be in his presence because he is a loving Savior. He's a loving deliverer. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. I don't know if I gave that to you guys or not, but in that story, Jesus was approached by a leper. Would you have mercy on me? Would you, if you can, would you heal me? If you are willing, I know you can heal me. And Jesus says, I am willing. Again, a demonstration of the nature of God, the power of God that we serve today. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And he said, I am willing. See, he calls you and I into his presence so that somehow, and this is where Christ's community does well and can move deeper into this, is where you become, you sustain and enlarge the transformative presence of God. Because he wants you, as he becomes more formed in us, as we're talking about knowing God and walking after the likeness and in the style of Jesus Christ with his words and his life,
want to emulate that, that as we more and more become that, we, our lives become transformative for others. We begin to carry with us a presence of God that others can note and others can feel and others can sense and in the mercy and the love and the compassion that you extend to others. It's a wonderful thing to have the transformative presence of God, to be present in his present love. As we become more like him and more rooted and established in his love, our presence can as well have an impact on others. It is good for us to be in his presence. It is good for us to be in his presence. And when David said, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" I can almost hear this wonderful God that we serve, who interacts with us. As David says, "Whom have I in heaven but you?" I can almost hear heaven echoing back, "And whom have I on earth but you? Whom have I on earth but you?" As a believer, you are the ones that represent me. You are the ones that will carry my presence into a broken and dark world. So thank God for his wonderful presence. The disciples asked Jesus, "Why is it that we could not? Why couldn't we?" I believe part of it is because there was something about their faith. I don't know exactly how to describe this for you, but what I'm sensing in my heart was that they were living in a past experience, living in the fact that, well, God gave us, Jesus gave us authority over these devils and these demons and to heal the sick. Well, this should be happening. But past experience. You see, past experience is easy to maintain because I have great faith in the God of the Old Testament. I have great faith in the God who parted the waters. I have great faith in the God who caused the sun to stand still. But what about the God who is going to help you in your current situation, your current illness, your current status of life? Today, it's a little more difficult in the here and now, isn't it? But this is where he wants us to have the presence, to be in his presence, to be present in his presence. Does that make sense to you? I'm trusting it does. Because, you see, I can have faith for the future God, what will be, but what about faith for what is right now? That we would carry on and trust him into the undefinable moments in your life when you say, where is that coming from? A stability, a safety that comes to you and I from walking in his very presence. So wherever you find yourself today, if you're facing issues that are needing mercy, come into his presence. Come into his presence. What do you mean by that, he said, if you can do anything, have mercy. If I can, don't question whether I'm willing, because I am willing. Don't question whether I'm able, because I am able. I want to reassure you, Jesus says to this Father, I am both willing and I am able to supply your need at any particular time. Would you just lift your hand with me right now? Father, we just thank you that whatever we brought into this house today, cares and burdens, brokenheartedness, broken expectations, disillusionment about my future, I bring it into your willingness. I bring it into your ability to transform what looks like brokenness really is a seed that is breaking open. What looks like loss is now becoming advantage in the presence of God. So I thank you, Father, for that. I thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. In the name of Jesus, carry us forward. And so the disciples were unable to because perhaps they were either looking at the past or they're looking at the future, but in the here and now. Psalm chapter 2, verse 7 says, David says, I will declare the decree of the Lord. I will proclaim the Lord's decree. What did the Lord decree? He said to me, you are my son. Now he said, David said that I will declare what the Lord has said. I want to encourage you as individuals, I try to do this often, is to declare the decree of the Lord. I am a son of God. I am his child, chosen and favored and blessed beyond measure, undeserving of all these things, but I've been born into his kingdom. That's who I am. That's who you are, a son or a daughter of the Lord. Take your pointy finger and look at somebody and say, that's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. I will declare that. I will proclaim that. This is who I am by virtue of my faith in Jesus Christ. He's made me a son of God. And then he says, well, when does it apply? He said, today. Today. Today I have become your father. The King James says, today I have begotten you. Everybody say today. When is today? Is it tomorrow? Is it yesterday? Today is today. Right here, right now. I will declare that I am a son of God. I possess his favor. He's put a ring on my finger. He's put sandals on my feet. He's put a robe of righteousness upon me. Why? Because I was so deserving and such a good boy all my life? No. But because Jesus, through his compassion and mercy, has made a way to bring us all into his family. Would you make that exchange? Would you give up your old life for a new life? Would you give up all your shame and guilt for a life free of guilt and built up out of shame and rising up in the newness of life? Why? Because today he is your father. You are his child. And his presence will make transformative change take place in your life every single moment. Saying, in his presence, I am present. It is good for me to be in the presence of the Lord. Jesus simply spoke the word to that demon, and that child was healed instantaneously. Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believes. Doesn't mean all things are going to happen just the way you have envisioned them. But all things are possible through him who has faith in me, who puts his faith in me. And today as a church, I think of the church in Thessalonica. I think we have some verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 I want to read to you because I feel that they apply to Christ Community Church. And then we're going to close up here and get into some baptism. To the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. Look at the inner working here of faith that produces work. Your labor prompted by love. Look at the interaction here that of love interacting and causing labors. And your endurance inspired by hope. Notice the interaction here of hope, that the effect that it has upon your endurance. Inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You see, I see that happening here among you. Faith, hope, and love. And Paul admonishes this church, Christ Community Church. I hear the Holy Spirit admonishing Christ Community Church to work, develop your faith that it influences and produces works. Works not out of effort to get something, but faith that produces works that are done because I have something. What do I have? I have the favor of God. I have the blessing of eternity upon me, and I'm thankful for that very thing. And so the Holy Spirit is both patting you on the back and challenging you unto more. In the book of Thessalonians, two times, I think, in chapter 2, he says, Paul says, more and more, more and more. And so our call is to carry on and keep on going because the Holy Spirit has great plans for this church and you in particular. Each of you have have influence into a different segment of society and culture around this particular territory and this region. And God is going to use you as you stay in the now, in the present, in His presence. It is good for us to be in the presence of the Lord. Let's have the worship team come on up to the front, if you would, please. And prepare to lead us in some worship song. And we're going to thank the Lord for two individuals who are going to be baptized in water today. Thank God for that. Water baptism is an obedience to a command given by Jesus for all believers to be baptized. Peter says we're called into this to follow in His steps. And this act of water baptism becomes a way for us to publicly announce that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ, that I have decided to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior, my Master and my God. And so this is a time of celebration, a time of excitement, jubilation, because someone is agreeing that this is right. It is good for me to be in the presence of God. Would you stand with us right now? Father, thank you so much for your blessings upon this house. Thank you for the way you've done such a perfect work in each one. We celebrate you, Holy Spirit, in the work that you are accomplishing. We ask you to bless these that are being baptized and begin to speak into us of how we can be more and more a pattern of the life of Jesus Christ in my world. In Jesus' precious name, let's worship the Lord.